Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi. Covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad, along with Robbie Falk from 24/7 Sports, give you an inside look at the Bulldogs on the field, the court, and the diamond. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk on a Sunday afternoon, Victory Sunday here in Starkville. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is you get podcasts from. We appreciate all of our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. Want to thank our sponsors at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice. We'll thank them a little later. Never mind. It's still early season for us all. Let's thank College Corner. I got a text or a tweet yesterday that said, Brian, I've been on campus. I haven't seen any Maroon is All That Matters shirts. You did it. I think it's too early to declare victory. All right, we haven't seen everybody. They haven't had big crowds yet. And LSU weekend, potential for Maroon is All That Matters is there.
They're starting to disintegrate at this point.
They're 17 years old.
Yeah, eventually they're just going to die off.
So, but I tell you what, I appreciate that, and we've done it thanks to the help of our friends at College Corner, providing great new Mississippi State merchandise. Still national championship stuff to wear if you want to grab that, go that route, but a lot of great stuff. Saw the new game day polos that our friend Joel T. Coleman was wearing Saturday, and I mean, they look sharp. So if you haven't already, head over to College Corner. Shop at collegecornerstore.com. Humble Taco, no surprise, that place was packed Friday night and on Saturday afternoon the couple times that I went by. You guys have heard the word, and the word is delicious. It is Starkville's newest and best Mexican restaurant. Such a unique menu. Stuff for everybody, that every kind of eater you've got in the family. Go to the patio. The weather was fantastic this weekend. Just sitting out there with some chips and salsa and a handcrafted margarita or an ice cold beer, and then grab some of those great tacos. You just can't beat that. So, next time you're in Starkville, and that will be in 2 weeks, make sure Humble Taco is on your list. Mississippi State 24, North Carolina State 10. We'll talk about predictions a little later in the show. But I was impressed by what I saw in some aspects. In some aspects, there's still some work to be done. I know one man is going to tell us exactly what's on his mind. Without any further ado, tell him, Falk!
Well, here's what I know, Brian. I know you're going to do the things that are true.
Okay.
Mississippi State's defense is what we thought it was.
Okay.
They are what we thought it was. I think that the first week was a little bit of a fluke. You had the two big plays.
But yeah.
We did discuss the fact that Mississippi State, outside that big run from Austin Kendall against Louisiana Tech, that the defense against the rush was outstanding.
Yes.
They gave up 2 yards a rush, I believe, in that ball game.
Mm-hmm.
And what did we say was going to happen in this game? Jack Arnett was going to sell out to stop the run and make North Carolina State throw the football. And that's exactly what he did. And it was actually, to me, even more impressive defensively than I thought. 25 carries for 32 yards. This is a team – I mean, this is comparable to me to what they did to Georgia last year, I thought. 25 times they ran the football, and they could only muster 32 yards, so 1.3 yards a rush. Mississippi State outrushed them per carry.
Yeah.
And Mississippi State was not good yesterday running the football.
No.
This is a team that ran the ball for 300 yards nearly last week. Two guys rushed for over 100 yards. You had two big, bulky running backs. And, hey, that was one of the best offensive lines Mississippi State is going to see this year, in my opinion. And Mississippi State sold out to stop the run. They got pressure, 9 tackles for loss, 4 sacks. I thought Jaden Crumity, that might be one of the better offensive tackles in the country at left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Jaden Crumity just ate his lunch.
Yeah.
I mean, he had his way with him. And I thought that was impressive. He made some money on Saturday. Jaden Crumity did. He's got a chance to move up some draft boards if he keeps playing like that. So it was good to see Mississippi State's defense get back to form. Zach Arnett challenged that crew to be better this week. I mean, he basically came out and said, I did horrible in that ball game, which I appreciate by Zach Arnett to come out and basically, you know, most of the time he's not throwing his players on the bus. He's saying he's got to do better as a coach. Mm-hmm. That's what you look for in a leader and a defensive coordinator. And he basically said, you know, we got to do a better job this week, and they did. They absolutely did. I thought the defense was the reason the Mississippi State won that football game. And, you know, the offense kind of is what it is at this point. I mean, there's still some concerns for me looking at that offense, and it's why mm-hmm. we both picked mm-hmm. North Carolina State in this ball game.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if you watched the first game of the season and didn't come away concerned, then I think that you're just ignoring some big issues for Mississippi mm-hmm. State. But here's the bottom line, Brian. They've won two ball games.
Yeah.
They've played two ball games and they've won both of them. And this one was a major challenge. I'm not going to try to turn around and say North Carolina State wasn't a good team.
Right.
I'm not going to try to come in here and say that, you know, just they destroyed a bad South Florida team last week, so they're fool's gold. I still think this is a good team. I still think they're going to be competitive in the ACC this year. So I'm not going to take anything away from North Carolina State. I'm going to give Mississippi State the glory in this one, especially on the defensive side of the ball. So I was really impressed with defense. And again, Tulu Griffin sparked them on special teams to start the ball game. I have absolutely no reason to believe that Mississippi State's defense won't be like that moving forward.
Mississippi State on the season has given up 705 total yards. 100 and, let me see if I can do the math here, 151 of them are on two plays. 72-yard pass and a 59-yard run. So maybe it's 141.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
It was 131, wasn't it?
Is that right? I can't do math.
If I remember right,
72. Yeah, that's right. 172. It doesn't matter. Yeah. So we're talking about 560 yards of offense in two games,
mm-hmm.
outside of two plays. Pretty good.
That's what this defense is. That's what this defense is going to be.
Yeah.
Kind of boom or bust, yeah. like on big plays.
Well, it's a lot more boom right now.
Yeah, and to Zach Arnett's credit, I think I compared this matchup to Georgia
mm-hmm.
last year, mm-hmm. but I said NC State doesn't have the guns.
Right.
So Zach Arnett said, we're going to have a similar game plan to that, but I feel much more comfortable with my secondary against their guys.
Yeah.
And that's basically what happened. They were chunking the ball down the field and overthrowing players. Players were dropping passes. There were still big plays to be made,
yeah.
but Zach Arnett knew that he had confidence that his defense was going to come up mm-hmm. big in this game, and they did.
I agree. Well, let's move on into the next part of the show, and that's brought to you by our good friends over at Welcome Home Beef. All right, so here's the deal on Welcome Home Beef. We got an update on some new things here. Looks like, unfortunately, Val's Marketplaces is going out of business.
What?
Yeah, so I received this information. So, here's what we're going to do. We're opening back up on University Drive. If you want to do a call-in order starting on September the 20th, call this number, 662-769-1412, another phone number. They've done it to me again, Robbie. And you can place your orders for game day weekends. So they, you know, they will have steaks available for you. Ribeyes, strips, T-bones, porterhouse, sirloin, fillets, tri-tip, and picanha. All the classics. Everything you want to grill out in the Junction is available at Welcome Home Beef until further notice. And the store will be back open. So, 662-769-1412. Call that number, place your order with Welcome Home Beef, and get some of the best steaks you ever had on the grill next Saturday when Mississippi State takes on the LSU Tigers in a huge game here in Starkville. Don't miss it. And again, that number is 662-769-1412. Welcome Home Beef.
It just tastes good.
I was not wrong about Two Brothers either. Drove past there Saturday night after the game, and buddy, the line was down the block trying to get into there. I ate at Two Brothers on Friday, and it was fantastic. And, you know, I wasn't the only celebrity in there, for lack of a better word. I am not a celebrity. This other guy was, though, Chris Lamonis or something.
Oh, who's that?
I didn't look. I'm sure people, but I had like four or five people come say hello. I really wanted to be like, I wonder how many people have said hello to him. Am I beating him? I don't know. But that said, he was having a good time, and I know that I did. And I do every time I go to Two Brothers. So make sure that's on your to-do list next time you're in Starkville. Grab some smoked Southern soul food at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District. Advantage Business Systems takes care of your business with a two-way plan, just like Mike Leach and Zach Arnett. The first half of the plan is this: a selection of technology, copiers, printers, computers, software, everything your business needs to thrive. And then the second part of the plan, the defense, is back every sale with the kind of customer service you would expect from your next-door neighbor. And that's what Advantage Business Systems is. They are your next-door neighbor. They take care of you and the rest of the state of Mississippi, and they've been doing it for 46 years. Why don't you call them today, find out how they can help you. 601-362-9192 is the number. 601-362-9192. Call Advantage Business Systems or go to their website at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Robbie, some things in this life are just true, and I've got some of those things right now. These are the things that are true. 10 of them this week.
We got okay, 10. Not as many as last week.
Not as many.
That can be good or bad.
Let's start. I think I'm very positive today. Very positive. Okay. We'll see how it goes, though. Number one, guys, if I could pick them all right, I wouldn't live here. I love Starkville and all, but if I could pick them all right, buddy, I'd be on an island somewhere.
We're in Vegas.
Oh, yeah. All right. Going to get some picks wrong every now and then. But here's the deal, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again. And I got to say it to some of y'all, because some of y'all don't get it, all right? Because y'all are the same people who crush the Ole Miss media for being homers. But then you turn around and you're like, I just don't understand why you would pick against Mississippi State. Guys, I'm going to tell you what I think. Right or wrong, it's what I think. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I don't care if I'm wrong. I didn't lose any money on it.
You and I are on the same page with this. I don't understand.
I'm not going
that.
To just pick Mississippi State for the sake of picking Mississippi State. I'm just not.
And look, we discussed this game all last week. Yeah. We talked about we sat through the La Tech game. There are people screaming at Mike Leach from the stands. People want Mike Leach fired in the third quarter.
Yeah.
And those same people are upset that we picked NC State. But I did not forget what happened last week. And all we can do is go with what we've seen with Mississippi State and NC State.
I picked State to lose to NC State before the season started.
Yes.
What could I have seen on Saturday against Louisiana Tech that would have made me change my mind? Nothing. If State had come out there and won the game 45-7, and Rodgers had just been flinging the ball down the field and the defense had been great, I might have picked State to win. I probably would have been like, look, they look better than I thought. They're playing at home. Here we go. But State barely scraped by a Conference USA team, and NC State went on the road and dominated. A bad team, but they dominated them. Why would I pick Mississippi State?
They beat them worse than Florida did.
And it's not like we went against Vegas in some huge way. The game was basically a pick 'em. We picked NC State.
I said State was going to win. State was going to lose by 3 points, which is what they were projected to lose.
And the idea that I don't come on this podcast and own it when I'm wrong—that's really kind of offensive, to be totally honest.
Yeah, people act like we're supposed to be like.
I'm not one of these people who's like, when I'm wrong, I try to find an angle where I'm still right.
Yeah.
State won. I was wrong. Okay, move on.
I mean,
if I could pick them all right, guys, you would never see me again.
we missed some picks on the other SEC games as well.
Yeah.
So it's just,
if I could do it, if I could get them all right, guys, you'd see me pop up on Twitter every now and then just to make fun of Ole Miss. That's all I would do.
Well, the only thing that bothers me is not people saying, oh, ha-ha, you picked Mississippi State to lose and they won. It's people just ignoring the analysis that we added with that.
Yeah.
Listen to what we're prefacing our picks with. Listen to what we're talking about.
They take that I pick against Mississippi State so personally.
Personal, yeah.
Like, guys, I'll just go ahead and tell you, I said it on Twitter last night, won't be the last time. When they play Alabama, no, not picking Mississippi State. Texas A&M on the road, probably not picking Mississippi State, although that game is closer in my mind now than it was 2 days ago.
Yeah.
You know, so that's how it is. Just let me make my picks. Number two, you know, I could probably count on two hands the number of times MSU has won pretty. Guys, this is what you signed up for as an MSU fan. How is this different year any different than so far through the 1999 when they couldn't move, they couldn't run the football? They just winning ugly and winning with defense, that is what Mississippi State's brand is. It has been since the beginning of time. Even in Dak Prescott's years, how many of the games were just like totally dominant, one snap of the ball to the other? You're always having to wait it out. They're always coming from behind. I mean, this is just what Mississippi State is. This is what you signed up for. You're a Mississippi State fan. You know? The fact that they can't move the football because they're passing now isn't any different than they couldn't move the football when they were running it the 160 years before this. So just, you know, this is what Mississippi State is. It always has been. It's going to be a grind. It's going to be a struggle. It's never easy. But if you win, it's all good. So, you know, breathe. Breathe. It's going to be okay. Number three. And I talked about this on the postgame show, which, by the way, don't know what happened with the Spotify audio for the postgame show. It was really good, I thought. I also wanted to give you guys a shout-out. I really appreciate, A, we're getting a lot of engagement with that, which is fantastic. But, B, and Robbie, you can guess, right? Like, when we started doing this, I'm like, I'm going to give these people, I'm giving our fans a live mic.
Yeah, you got to be
like,
careful.
I was worried. I was a little worried, especially when it was 34-14 Louisiana Tech. I was like, it's going to be brutal. But you guys have come in, and you're just asking questions, and we're keeping it clean and family-friendly. I could not be more appreciative. We're going to keep doing it. Can't wait for this weekend right after, because we'll be on the road, and I'm not in the stadium. I'll be at home, and that should be a lot of fun. We'll have a good time with that. So thank you guys. But my number three thing that is true is this. I said this on the postgame. Maybe we're judging Will Rogers a little harshly. And what I mean by that is this. This is his, if I'm doing the math right, his seventh start.
Mm-hmm.
All right? On the season, he is averaging 332 passing yards a game, which has him on pace to break Dak Prescott's single-season record. He's completing 75% of his passes. He's thrown 5 touchdowns to 1 pick. So he's on pace to throw around 32 touchdowns, if I'm doing the math right. Maybe 30. I mean, that's a pretty damn good season.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why we're putting as much pressure on him as we are. And listen, I'm the first guy to say that this offense has a ceiling with him at quarterback. He's not going to be out there throwing darts every time.
Right.
He floats the ball a little bit. There's some mechanical things that you can work with there. But he also has a ceiling on what he can be.
He's not Dak Prescott.
No, but you can win with Will Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
You can absolutely win with Will Rogers. You can win fairly big with Will Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
Comments like, you know, he's a D2 guy. That's not true. He's in the SEC right now, and he's winning ball games in the SEC. Players rally around him, and he can run this offense. Now, are there some things that he can do much better? Yes.
Yeah.
He missed probably 2 touchdowns yesterday.
Yeah.
Threw the ball behind a couple of guys. Mm-hmm. It wasn't perfect,
mm-hmm.
but the numbers are fine.
And
the numbers are fine.
This is a guy in his 7th start. Imagine if he had just started as a true freshman in game 7. And went out there and was completing 75% of his passes and 5-1 touchdown. I mean, these are good numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that, you know, with Leach, we expected him just from day one to come in. And I think the KJ Costello, the first game, has people's brains are still skewed by that.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy's doing all right. He's doing all right. And the most importantly, they're winning. He played better last night. He didn't turn the ball over, you know. The offensive line was – I don't even have a thing that is true for that. I think we need to donate a whole podcast to it about how much better the offensive line was.
They looked outstanding.
Game 1 to game 2.
I mean, the only thing that you can really complain about is a couple of penalties on Dollar Bill.
Right. Well, that's just one guy, though. I mean
– and honestly, Dollar Bill played fine.
Mm-hmm.
It was just penalties.
Yeah.
That unit looked great.
Yeah.
Charles Cross was flawless.
Fantastic.
Scott Lashley was fine. So, yeah, I mean – but – so yesterday, some of the issues that were compounding for Mississippi State in the passing game was Will Rogers hanging on the ball a little too long. He's got to get rid of it a little bit quicker, and you know, missing a guy here or there.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, I mean, you're in game 7 or 8 as a starter in the SEC. I think he's done pretty well considering that, and he's going to be. I mean, he's the best guy for the job. A lot of people. Started panicking early in the first quarter yesterday and wondering when they were going to try somebody else. But this is your guy.
This is
your guy this year.
Yeah.
You're going to have to ride with Will Rogers. And if somebody
Unless
can beat
Rogers
him out.
Unless Rogers gets hurt or he has an incredibly bad game.
Like he's going to have to throw like 6 interceptions like Mike Henning.
Yeah. That's the only way. But I think that maybe we should let the guy continue to grow. He's only started 7 games. He hasn't started a full season. 5 of his games have been against SEC teams. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's 7 is right. It's 7 or 8. Well, I can do that. I guess I can do it. Vanderbilt, Georgia, Ole Miss, Auburn, Missouri, bowl game. That's his 8th start.
And he pretty much
in 8
played
starts,
most of that Alabama game.
In 8 starts, he's thrown for like 2,000 yards. And I think, if I'm correct, 16 touchdowns to 8 interceptions. So 2-1. That's not bad. Maybe we're a little harsh on Will Rogers.
A little harsh.
And I'm not saying
give him a little bit of a leash.
I'm not gonna come in here and be like, well, he's an All American. But
no,
I think we're a little hard on him.
There's a ceiling on this offense, like I said, with him at quarterback. But he knows how to run it, and the players rally around him. I think, like I said, you can win with Will Rogers.
All right. Number 4, you're gonna have to force feed the ball to Tulu Griffin, Jameer Calvin, and Jaden Wally. Those 3 guys don't need to leave the field unless they are dead tired. Mekhi Polk is good, but, I mean, if you're switching Polk, Heath, Ducking, Thomas, whatever. And, you know, Austin Williams has got his role in this offense for sure. But those 3 guys need to be on the field as much as possible. Those are your 3 best playmakers. All right, between the 3 of them, they need 20 touches a game.
And Tulu, again, yesterday, did get a whole lot of opportunities.
He had 3 catches on 3 targets. He caught everything that was thrown to him.
Had 2 for 29 in the first game.
Yeah.
3 for 22 in this one.
Yeah.
And then he's done what he's done
on special teams.
You just got to get in the ball.
They got to find some screens.
I want to see some jet sweeps. I want to see some tosses.
They don't do a lot of that, but they need.
He never does a jet sweep.
Well, what they might need to do then, and you mentioned the toss play, is put Tulu in the backfield for a couple plays.
Yeah.
I mean, they need to do something. They got to get him the ball a little bit more. And then Wally and Calvin, they need to get the ball more. You're going to have to force them the ball. You're going to have to call plays that are like he's the primary target. The screens, the tunnel screens, things like that. I like Heath. That was a great touchdown catch. He certainly can have a big role in this offense. Ra-Ra Thomas, he had a drop the last night, but he has shown you some things. I like him. Ducking, we'll see. And Austin Williams, you're not going to get rid of the guy. He's too good. He's too valuable. But those 3 guys, 20 touches a game between the 3 of them.
Nice bounce back from Dylan Johnson, led the team in receiving.
He did.
Dylan
Johnson had a nice bounce back game.
6 catches was second most, and
Paul,
then 70
Paul Jones
yards.
Is going to owe me lunch, by the way. They're not getting anywhere close to 80 yards rushing a game.
No.
That lunch is mine.
They looked more – last night they looked more like what we saw from them last year, most of the season running the ball. They just couldn't – they tried to run it on first down.
You talked about that during the game. On first down, they were unable to run the football.
It was like the defense knew they were going to run on first down.
Yeah, which is weird. You think it would be the other way around. You think you'd have success.
So they had 2nd and 9
a lot,
routinely.
Yeah. But those 3 guys, those 3 guys are SEC playmakers, period. They just are. Number 5, dollar bill. Someone's got to give here, all right? You can have some off-the-field issues when you're performing on the field. And you can... If you're a good team guy, you can get past some you know subpar play. But we can't have both. We can't have getting arrested on Monday and have 4 penalties on Saturday. We can't have that. So I don't know what it needs to be. I don't know if he needs to come out of the starting lineup. I don't know if he needs to have a come to Jesus meeting. I don't know what it is. But someone's got to give with Dollar Bill.
He was like the first guy off the bus yesterday at the dog walk.
Yeah.
I mean – Mike Leach said that he was one of the guys, like the big leaders last week.
That's great. But it's not translated on the field. He's got, I think in 2 games, he's had 7 penalties called on him. Unacceptable.
He had
a late hit.
2 false starts, I think, or something.
A holding and a late hit.
I mean, it was too much.
They can't have it.
They had to have had. I don't think Cole Smith was healthy.
Something's not right
because they had no other choice. I don't know
if Nick Jones can't slide inside or what, but something's got to give there. You can't go on like this.
Yeah, he's got to be.
He's costing you 25 yards of field position again. You can't have that.
There was a couple of plays. I think they had first downs in big plays that got called back because of his penalties.
Number 6. You know, when we think about cornerbacks. Think about flashy guys. We think about Deion Sanders, you know, great in pass coverage, but not guys that exactly want to stick their nose in there. You know, that's a unicorn to steal from Scott Foxhall. You know, physical cornerback, that's a unicorn. State has 2. Mm-hmm. They have two guys that absolutely will put their helmet in there and knock you out. Emmanuel Forbes, one of his best games, I thought, last night. Good in coverage, but every time they threw short and threw out to the edge, Emmanuel Forbes was in there busting that up. Martin Emerson, about the same. The one big catch he gave up, a lot of you guys were on Twitter telling me that that ball was out of bounds and should have been overturned. So they're as good as him. I'll ride with them. They're as good as anybody in the country. I still think Stingley is making his bones off his freshman year. I'll take Emerson and Forbes over any corner duo in the country. They're good. They're really, really good. I'm looking forward in 2 weeks to the matchup with whoever's out there on Keyshawn Boutte.
So,
and
the thing I really
too, Memphis can move the ball.
The thing I really respect about Emmanuel Forbes is he's not a big guy.
He doesn't care, though.
Skinny. I mean, that dude comes in there like Jonathan Abram.
Yeah.
I mean, he does not care. He had a couple of hits around the line of scrimmage, had a sack yesterday. Martin Emerson had some really big hits on some screen passes or run plays. That's what makes this defense so good against the run is everybody can come up and make a play. You know, Cam Dantzler was kind of like that when he was here, too. He was pretty good against run support. So it's going to be tough for teams to just say we're going to run the ball down your throat because Mississippi State can come up there and strike you.
Yeah, if your cornerbacks are giving you that kind of runs. And also, don't forget, Forbes had a big sack on fourth down. They sent a corner blitz in, and he just cleaned it out. So
that pretty much ended,
that ended
I mean,
the game.
State was in control, but that
ended the game.
That ended any chance.
That was on the fourth and goal from the 21. And, yeah. He wrapped it up. So, really, really good. All right, a little negative here.
Careful.
I'll just say, number seven, what you saw from State, or what you've seen from State so far this year, that's good enough to win seven games. But it's not good enough to win more than that. If you want to win more, the offense has got to continue to progress. They've got to keep getting better. I mean, right now, and I got one more, but when you look at the schedule, there are seven wins there. Winnable games, easily winnable. To get the ones that are toss-ups or to have a chance in an upset, I mean, State scored 17 points offensively. You know, they got a touchdown on Tulu Griffin, obviously, on special teams. And, you know, maybe this is a team that can get some points here and there on defense. And they're forcing turnovers, and that's always a good thing. But 17 points is not getting it done. You're gonna have to find a way. I will say this, with State's defense, 28 is going to be enough to win most games.
The first quarter was particularly rough by the Mississippi State offense.
Awful.
They came out, got the touchdown on the kick return, got a stop defensively, got the ball back, and then it was like punt, 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 turnover on downs.
And bad punts.
Yes. And they put their defense in bad position. This defense is good enough to win nine games.
Yeah.
If your offense is playing...
It's good enough to win 10.
Could,
you know?
But I mean, I look at that schedule and I say, if this offense was playing up to Mike Leach's standards, this defense is good enough to, you should win all of those toss-ups.
Yeah.
And right now, you know, I'm still confused about what this team is. That was a great win yesterday. 14-point win, and really, it was worse than that. They got a late touchdown.
Yeah, yeah.
So State dominated.
And State dropped the ball in the end, or didn't drop the ball, but there was a bad throw in the end zone. State could have won by more.
So, I mean, State dominated that ball game. NC State was never in that game, and that's a game that we all thought, or you and I both thought they were going to lose.
Yeah.
So if the offense can just be consistent, don't go a whole quarter without scoring.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it wasn't until right before the half where they finally scored, and that was on the fifth or sixth possession. They've got to show some consistency. They can't go in these ruts because the fact of the matter is the defense is really good. But there's going to be some offenses out there, Auburn, LSU possibly, if they're hitting on all cylinders, Ole Miss. Those teams are not going to go five straight possessions without scoring. So Mississippi State's got to find a way to get some consistency there. And, you know, the offensive line was good yesterday, but last week it wasn't good. So it just seems like they can't seem to put everything together at the right time.
Right. That said, they're good enough.
Yeah,
but they could be a lot better if they figure things out.
They are talented enough to be
seven wins.
You know, a really good SEC
team. Yeah. Number eight, Leach winning with defense is hysterical to me.
Yeah.
His whole career has been predicated on this. Yeah, but he doesn't play defense. Have you ever had a defense? Finally got a defense. And now the offense is not as good as you would think it would be. I am going to do, I talked about it in the post game last night, we're going to do a deep dive. I'm going to look deeper into the year two at Texas Tech and Washington State. I want to see what those numbers look like, game to game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is there a point in year two where it started to click and they started really to take off? If that's coming, that would be great for Mississippi State. Because number eight is this. Or sorry, number nine, thing that's true, is this. Leach's ceiling is incredibly high. And what I mean by that is this. He's got the athletes, and he's got the defensive coordinator. State's going to be good defensively in Leach's tenure here. If the offense ever gets going at a Leach standard,
yeah,
now you've got something.
Kind of a sleeping giant. You know, if his offenses do what they did at Washington State and what they did at Texas Tech,
yeah.
I mean, he's going to have more talent here.
The sky is the limit.
He's going to have more talent here.
Yeah.
He's going to have, like you said, way better defenses.
Right.
So, and I realize the talent level around the SEC is significantly higher too, right.
But he's made a living off of doing this, of beating teams with more talent than him by out-scheming them. The problem has always been he could never count on his defense. Now he can count on his defense. What happens if this Mississippi State team with this defense averages 31 points a game?
They're in really good shape.
They're in really good shape. I mean, they'll probably lose to Alabama.
That's another, what, touchdown a game than it was last year?
Yeah. No. So, 10 points a game.
What'd they average last year?
21.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's
after getting 44 in the first game. So, yeah. I mean, yeah.
That's at least two more wins.
If you know, there's been a lot of criticism of John Cohen. This is what Cohen saw. Mm-hmm. Or this is, I have to assume, this is his plan, is that Mississippi State recruits enough defensive talent to stay good on that side of the ball. And so Leach will have something in that he's never had before. If he can get his offense to his standard, you win a lot of football games. Now, it's still a process to get there. They're still working through that.
And I think Cohen was involved in, like, we're going to get you a top-notch defensive coordinator.
We're going to pay what it has to be paid.
Yeah.
You know, I think Arnett, it's going to be tough to hold on to Arnett because, as we saw yesterday, big jobs are going to be opening up, and they're going to be wanting defensive coordinators, and that's going to also lead up to smaller jobs opening up who are going to be wanting head coaches. And Zach Arnett's name is going to be at the top of those lists.
I think his next stop is blue blood defensive coordinator,
mm-hmm. or smaller smaller head coach.
I think he's going to go.
You think he'll go to
big,
like,
time defensive coordinator, and then from
right now, as we sit here, I mean LSU
try to be a Kirby Smart.
I know that LSU turned him down, or he turned them down last year, but they're going to have a new head coach. USC is going to have a new head coach.
He might want to get back out towards the West,
and the West Coast would be a spot for him. Florida State, I mean, I don't think they would fire Norvell after 2 years, but they fired Taggart after 2 years, so I don't know.
And by the way, we learned yesterday that Notre Dame and Florida State are not nearly as good as we all
not
thought.
Good.
That was a flash.
You know, Michigan, we'll have to see what happens with Harbaugh. They're okay right now, but I mean, when they get into Big Ten play, you know they're going to blow a couple of games.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But
I mean, shoot, Ohio State's defense looked awful.
His defense. With their
in the
players,
Big Ten,
oh,
running with a 3-man front.
Oh
in the Big
no,
Ten.
That's dangerous.
Yes,
so that's what I'm saying. The ceiling is high for Mike Leach, but he's got to. It's on him to get things going offensively. Number 10, and this is the most important one. Mississippi State's bowl bound. Two games in, that's done. They're beating Memphis. They're beating Tennessee State. They're going to beat Vanderbilt. That's five.
Yeah,
they'll win one more.
Yeah,
that's six. So, and I think they could, like right now, I would say, even at beating them the way they did, I would still say Mississippi State can beat Arkansas, and I think they can beat Kentucky. Kentucky is good, but playing them here, you have the advantage. So,
yeah,
that would be seven.
Their defense actually doesn't look as good as I thought it was going to be.
No, it's not.
Kentucky, and then, that's what the question mark was, quarterback and offense.
Yeah.
Well, now we're saying their offense is going to be pretty darn good because they have a dude that can sling it in a running game too.
Yeah.
The defense isn't that great.
And then Ole Miss, ask yourself this about Ole Miss. Both teams are 2-0, right? Mississippi State and Ole Miss. Whose wins are better?
Well, I mean, I would say State has the edge because I think La Tech is –
La Tech's better than Austin Peay.
Which they struggled against Southeastern Louisiana, but let's compare Louisville and NC State.
NC State's better.
And
NC State
compare
NC State
La Tech
will go to
and
a bowl
Austin Peay.
And Louisville probably won't.
Yeah.
So
So we'll compare those two. So I would say
Ole Miss has been more impressive.
Way more impressive.
But State has better wins.
They do. I'm pretty high on Ole Miss.
Look, Ole Miss is going to be a good football team. Don't get me wrong. And what I saw from Texas A&M.
But you just never know with that game.
What I saw with Texas A&M. But again, State lost by 7 last year playing with 43 guys in Oxford. Why couldn't they, on a full roster in Starkville, win? You can do it. So
it's a valid point.
That's how I'm looking at it. So.
But that's one of those things. A lot of times you talk about you know what you have at the first part of the season, and then everything changes at the end.
All right. So let's do our final MSU prediction again here.
We do this every week.
Yeah, we both had 7-5 going into week one. We were both 4-8 after week one. I'm back to 7-5.
Yeah, my opinion is back to 7-5 too. Right. I think I went down to.
I think you may have said 5-7, but
5 or 6.
But yeah,
but
we're 7-5 today.
Yeah,
I'm interested to see what they look like. Memphis is so bad defensively.
Yeah,
if State can't move the football, Memphis, it's going to be tough against LSU just because LSU is good enough defensively that they're going to hold State to. 10-17 points. I don't know if State will hold LSU to that, but we'll see.
And I don't think that Memphis is going to be able to score.
No, not 50 points. No.
No. I mean,
this game, we obviously are ways off from making the real prediction, but it just sort of reeks of like 49-28 or something.
I could see that. I think people would be okay with that.
Yeah, I think so too. Well, that's enough of the things that are true. Right now, I want to talk about something important.
Let's talk about something important. Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only.
Coffee is for closers is brought to you by our good friends over at Strange Brew Coffee House. Mississippi State fans are closers. Mississippi State closed out the game on Saturday. Head over to Strange Brew Coffee House. 2 locations in Starkville, 1 in Tupelo. Start your day the right way with a drink from Strange Brew Coffee House. I think for Mississippi State, it was between two guys. It was between Dollar Bill and Tucker Day. I'm going to go Dollar Bill just because he had such a terrible week. You know, the off the field sort of takes you into it.
I mean, he might get some watered down Starbucks.
He just gets the grounds. Just grounds in a cup of hot cold water. That's all Dollar Bill gets. Tucker Day doesn't get much either, though. But Dollar Bill, no coffee for you. In the SEC, oh, there was only one choice. Tennessee!
And you got that. You got that prediction
one.
Correct.
I had been looking at that game all summer and thinking that I thought Pitt could win. Joe Milton, how's this for an analogy? And he got hurt, obviously, but I'm sure he'll be back. Joe Milton is a less accurate Chris Relf.
Ooh.
I mean, great athlete.
Less accurate.
He can run. He can't. I'm telling you right now, if Tennessee had a quarterback with any touch, this guy makes Nick Fitzgerald look like Tom Brady as far as touch goes. And I love Nick.
I mean, Chris Relf was throwing to the wrong guy one time.
Yeah.
And the other dude caught the touchdown.
They had guys open, and he could not hit them. It was incredible.
Yeah.
Just overthrow, overthrow, overthrow.
Yeah, I have no faith in Tennessee at this point. I thought, okay, they could get by Pitt, and then they'll struggle.
They'll win 3 more games, maybe. Maybe four.
This isn't going to be a good year for Josh Heupel.
My favorite Chris Relf story is the 2008 Egg Bowl, where State's just down 45-0 or whatever. They bring in Relf. I'm like, all right, well, he looks the part. And the first throw, it left his hand, and I was just like, I don't even know if God knows where that ball's going. Like, it just left his hand like, good luck! Good luck! Ball went like 12 yards out of bounds. I'm like, who? He didn't even know who he was throwing to.
Look, anybody that complains about what they see from here on out in Mississippi State football,
yeah,
I implore you to go watch the 2008 Mississippi State football team, mm-hmm, or 2004 through 6.
Yeah, watch those games. So Tennessee, no coffee on Rocky Top this week in the SEC. Nationally, boy, did we have some options here. We had a lot of choices to make. We nearly got Notre Dame.
Yep. Nearly got A&M.
Nearly. Oh, they would have been the SEC one. They were so close. That was an incredibly disappointing game. We could have gone with Texas. We could have gone with Ohio State. Shout out to Joe Moorhead.
The bearded one.
Yeah. We could have gone with Southern. By the way, how did he get fat in Oregon? Like, I understand coming down to Mississippi and getting fat.
They got good pizza.
I mean, you're getting fat in vegan country. What are you eating?
Well, he went from the diet where you, like, starve yourself.
Yeah.
when he was like, "Yeah, I eat like one meal a day."
Like the quarantine like, oh, got God. Him.
I think he was just like, "Okay, I'm starving."
And he's rocking the full Santa beard.
Yes.
You know what? He's living his best life.
I love when Joe Moorhead grows the beard out.
By the way, I'm calling this right now. Joe Moorhead will be the next head coach at UConn. That's a perfect spot for him.
That is a good spot. I think
he's smart enough. I know
he'll change it up a little bit.
I think he's smart enough to have learned from his mistakes.
Yeah.
So,
but here's one thing you can't deny. So, when that dude's just calling plays,
he's as good
one
as
of the best
gets.
In the game.
As good as it gets. That being said, Joe Moorhead gets coffee. Coffee for Joe Moorhead. He's a closer. Could have gone with Ohio State, though. Could have gone with Southern Cal. My God, Southern Cal lost to Stanford. Who just got blown out by Kansas State, who just beat an FCS school by 8.
They lost bad.
Yeah. Well, there was another game that had my attention, too. I know who the worst team in college football is. It's Colorado State. They lost to Vanderbilt. Right now, Colorado State is 0-2. They have a 20-point loss to an FCS team and a loss to Vanderbilt. But I say all that to say this. No coffee for Florida State. Mike Norvell, look. You know, like people are always like, what do you know about? You're not a coach. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. A lot of coaches are idiots. They're just not smart. They overthink. They're smart. They're too smart sometimes. They overthink things. So you have Mike Norvell saying, with 6 seconds left in a game you're up by 3 points over an FCS team, 6 seconds to go, they're on their own 40, and you're saying, well, we didn't want to go full prevent here because they still had a timeout.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
that play was awful.
How do you not have 6 guys on the goal line say don't let them get in? And instead, they give up a Hail Mary. So, by the way, Jacksonville State, I'm sure Houston Nutt was like, it happens, brother.
Welcome to the club, brother.
Jacksonville State will get you. You got to watch out for them. If I'm Florida State, I'm
especially if you have Jeremiah Masoli as your quarterback.
Next step for Florida State, Hugh Freeze. Hugh Freeze should get that's a great.
That
job.
Would actually be a
That'd
good.
That'd be a
hire.
Great job for Hugh but, Freeze. He'd win big. Oh, and please, I called for that last year. Please, please, Lord, if you are listening, I'm going to get a little evangelical here. But if you could give me Hugh Freeze versus Dan Mullen in Florida. I promise I'll go to church every Sunday.
That would be incredible.
I'll tithe. Let's go.
The Episcopalians versus the convicts this time, huh?
Who's Episcopalian?
I'm pretty sure Dan is.
I'm not going to call the Freeze's players weren't getting arrested at any super
Florida State.
Florida State, I get. Miami's the convicts.
They weren't getting arrested.
They were getting arrested, but not at
we didn't know about.
Not at the same clip that like
they weren't convicts. robbing a bank or anything?
No, I don't. Not that I know of. No,
I don't know. Maybe
you don't have to rob a bank when they just give you the money.
That's true.
They just put it in the red duffel bag.
They just rob convenient grocery stores and get crab legs.
That's Florida State.
That's what I'm talking about.
That was just the one guy. Good luck,
your
to him.
Quarterback.
Good luck to him today. Let's go, Jameis. Start of a new era. All right, Florida State. No coffee for them this week. Tomorrow's show, I'm gonna do a little research into that Washington State thing that I talked about. We'll recap Leach's press conference. We'll have our SEC picks rumblings this week. I think the only person who covers Memphis is Jason Munns, so we'll get up with him and talk about the Tigers.
We got some guys at the 247 site.
If you can hook me up with them, that'll be great. We'll talk some Memphis and get ready. Big game for Mississippi State. 3-0 if they can win this game, and then 3-0 heading into LSU. Chance for big, big game in Starkville in 2 weeks. But they got to win this one. And it's no pushover for sure.
Yeah, we said preseason, these first 3 games are big for Mississippi State.
No gimmies.
About to run through the gauntlet here, so that's big. Right. Before we leave, we talked about Tyler Threadgill last week.
Yeah, gosh.
And prayers were out for him and his family for recovery. Unfortunately, he has not recovered, and he's passed away, and we just want to wish him, his family, well. That's just an unfortunate situation, and, you know, growing up close to Philadelphia, we always heard about Tyler Threadgill, one of the fastest guys in the state of Mississippi, and came to Mississippi State, played football for Sylvester Croom. He was just a few years older than me, just gone way too soon. It's always terrible to lose a Bulldog and to lose somebody that you know, we've all grown accustomed to knowing and watching on the field, but somebody at that age that was still in great physical condition, yeah, it's just really, it's a tough situation. So really prayers out to his family and loved ones.
Agreed.
We're thinking about y'all right now.
All right. On that somber note, we will let you out of here today. Back with you on Tuesday morning. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
A Super Talk Mississippi media production.